Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Thank you, Jay. Today on the broadcast, we'll begin a brand new series. The title of this series is Alpha and Omega. These two Greek words mean beginning and end. In this series, we'll be looking at the beginning of all of Bible prophecy that is found in the book of Genesis, and the end of time scenario in God's Word found in the book of Revelation. But first, I would like for you to see what the Apostle Peter had to say about the end times and how we are to live in these times. Please take your Bible and let's begin our study in 2 Peter.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
Are we not living in unbelievable times? I mean, you cannot pick up the paper, listen to a newscast, or watch a television news report without realizing where we are in God's time. If you've studied Bible prophecy, you need to understand the prophetic scenario laid out in God's Word to understand the times in which we're living. And if you have some idea of Bible prophecy, it'll just amaze you. I can't imagine ever waking up in the morning because of the fact that what is going on just is in so much alignment with the prophetic scenario found in God's Word. But these are troublesome times as well, and in particular in the church. I'm very much concerned about the way the church is moving. And I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ, and some of the decisions they're making, some of the beliefs that they are appropriating for what they try to believe is the way to live in the days in which we're living. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3 with me, if you will. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter is the swan song for the Apostle Peter, and especially chapter 3. It's almost like he's writing a third epistle, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, almost a third epistle. It's part of the second book of Peter's epistles there. But it's a very interesting couple of chapters that are dealing with something that Peter wants to make certain that we have as he has to depart. He's almost to depart. You know that Peter traditionally was crucified upside down on a cross. And they were going to crucify him, and he said, I do not want to be crucified the way my Savior Jesus was. Instead, crucify me upside down on a cross. And he was not in the city of Rome, Italy. I don't know that there's any evidence that he ever went to Rome. He didn't start the church in Rome. The Roman church was established by the Apostle Paul. We have no record that he was there. We have an indication that he's buried in Jerusalem. And so some of that theology that comes out of Peter going to Rome, never do we see he went to Rome. He went, in fact, the opposite direction. Rome is northwest. He went southeast and went into Babylon. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 13 says he established a church in the city of Babylon. That was the second most populated Jewish city in the time of Peter when he went to the uttermost parts of the earth. But in 2 Peter, I said chapter 3, let's look at chapter 1 first. Let me show you something. Verse 15, chapter 1. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, see, he was recognizing the times, he knew he's going to be dying soon, to have these things always in remembrance. And he's continually, in this epistle, talking about remembering and causing you to have remembrance of something that has been taught. Verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And he talks about here, the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew, after he had pronounced Jesus the Messiah, the Son of the living God, then it says 6 days later, they were at Caesarea Philippi in that region. Peter and James and John, the inner circle, were taken by Jesus Christ. The last verse in chapter 16 of Matthew, Jesus gives a prophecy, basically. He said, there are some of you here gathered with me that shall not die till you see me come in my kingdom. And then in the 17th chapter, 6 days later, they went up the slopes of Mount Hermon, and there the transfiguration took place. Peter, James, and John were able to witness Jesus in his glorified, resurrected body. They saw Moses in his resurrected, glorified body. And they saw Elijah. He did not resurrect because he never had died. So he was not there in a resurrected body, but his glorified body looking to the future and what was going to take place. And he was an eyewitness. He heard God the Father say, "This is my Son, hear ye him." What a phrase that was when God said, "Listen to what Jesus has to say." But I want you to notice something. He was an eyewitness. He saw all this happening. Now look at verse 19. "But we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star," that's Jesus Christ, "arise in your heart." He said, "We have a more sure word of prophecy." Better than an eyewitness account, Peter? Absolutely, a more sure word of prophecy. What is it? It's this book right here. That's the more sure word of prophecy. From Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, to chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 21. A more sure word of prophecy. This book is packed with prophecy, prophetic passages that will help us understand what's going to happen. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but you can take your thumb and put it on Lamentations chapter 1. That's over after Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. And then you can put your index finger on the last chapter of Revelation. Pinch between that thumb and index finger those pages between Lamentations 1, Revelation 22. If you pinch those pages there, that is 42 books of the Bible. 27 books in the Old Testament, 15 books in the New Testament. That's of 1,188 chapters of the Bible, 392 chapters. That's one-third of God's Word pinched between your fingers. That's one in every three pages. And that's all Bible prophecy. And the Apostle Peter said, "We have a more sure word of prophecy." Now go to chapter 3. He's going to now lay out, in light of that foundational thought, what the situation is going to be and what he would like to see happen. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. "The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds." How? "By way of remembrance." And then he tells us what he wants us to remember. "That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken of by the holy prophets." That's the number one thing he wants you to hear and remember. And our minds will be stirred up. Our pure minds will be stirred up. What the holy prophets had to say, and then of the commandment of us that are apostles of the Lord, what the apostles had to say. God breathed into them, not by their choice, but by the Holy Spirit of God, sovereignly selecting them to breathe into them prophetic truth for us, okay? By the prophets, by the apostles, and by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so those three, he wants us to remember what they said about prophetic truth, what is going to happen in the future. That will stir up our pure mind. Then notice what he says. This is describing the days that we are living in and what he believed would be the last days. Verse 3, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days," now notice this phrase, "scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his kingdom?" We're not talking about lost people here. We're not talking about those people in the churches out there that are modernistic and have no idea the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about the church, the body of Christ, people that he wants to stir up their pure minds, people who have come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. And they'll be saying, "Where is the coming of the promise of his coming?" Notice what he says. Jesus Christ is not slack concerning his promise. Verse 9. "And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance." And so he's telling us here, Jesus Christ is coming. Those who are scoffers walking after their own lust are going to deny that truth of the coming of Jesus Christ. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ, Peter says, is not slack concerning his promise. The only reason he has not come is he wants others to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I want to tell you, friend, there's going to be a great train wreck one of these days pretty soon. Coming down one track, headed towards the other train, is all of the prophetic truth in God's Word. And everything, every single thing that has to happen before the rapture of the church has been fulfilled, and it's about to come to fulfillment completely. And then there is those group of people that are coming to know Christ as Lord and Savior. We're living in a time, and Peter gave testimony of it, Acts 15, the council at Jerusalem, when James the pastor asked Peter and Paul to give their testimony about leading Gentiles to Jesus Christ. And then James concluded, hey, what you men have testified, leading Gentiles to Christ, Peter the first to lead a Gentile to Jesus, there Cornelius and Caesarea, he said, this agrees with the word of God. And we're living in a time now, the times of the Gentiles that will come to know Christ as Savior. There's going to be the last Gentile who comes to know Christ, and then Jesus Christ is going to come back. That's Romans chapter 11, verse 25. And so these two trains are running lickety-split at each other. And when the last Gentile comes to know Christ, that God knows will happen, then the fulfillment of prophecy will take place, and Jesus Christ will rapture us out of here. That train collision is going to happen. But before, there are going to be those in the church, in the body of Christ, believers. That's who 2 Peter was written to, that are going to deny the coming of the Lord, walking after their own desires. May I say this? If the number one attraction, the number one ambition, the number one event that you're looking forward to is not the second coming of Christ, the rapture of the church, you better check out your life. Because he said, those people who deny his coming are walking after their own lust. I'm not chastising you. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. The Word of God should convict all of us. We need to be focused on him coming back. But notice what else he says will be in the times before this all happens. Look here in verse 4, and they're saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And that is a total contradiction to what is going on in our world. All things do not remain the same from that time. Look at verse 5. For this they are willfully ignorant. But notice what they're going to be willfully ignorant of here. Verse 5, they're going to be willfully ignorant that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. God created everything. That's what they're going to be willfully ignorant of. The second thing, verse 6, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. That's talking about the flood, a worldwide flood that will take place. And then verse 7, and by the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Judgment, they deny three things. Three things they're willfully ignorant of. First of all, God's creation. Secondly, the worldwide flood. And thirdly, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. By the way, my translation for that phrase there, not willfully ignorant, I'm going to say that it should have been translated dumb on purpose. Much better than willfully ignorant. They're going to be dumb on purpose at a time of the end.
As the Bible does say, people will be, as I refer to it, dumb on purpose at the time of the end. But here's the good news. You can, as I have done, take God's word by faith and live forever. However, we can also know how to live today as we take God's prophetic word, the words of the prophets, the apostles, and Jesus himself, and find out how to live in the days before Jesus Christ comes back. Next week on the broadcast, we'll continue our study on living in the last days. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of our study today.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...